This is Smart Tech, episode 1316. Android or Apple? Which phone should I buy? Hello and welcome to this phone-tastically phenomenal episode of Smart Tech. I am your host, Chuck Minear. And today we're going to wrestle with the age-old question, Apple or Android? Or Android or Apple? Which one should I buy? There have been many conflicts through history. You know, the French and English, they fought with each other. I mean, they had a 100-year-long war in the past. So there's been many conflicts, but I can't think of one. Well, maybe I can think of two that have divided families and communities. And boy, there's the Windows Mac controversy and Apple's in two of them, huh? There's the Android iOS controversy. Today, we're going to tackle the Android iOS controversy. Which one should I buy? Now, I need to put my cards on the table before we start. I am a Macintosh user. I'm recording this on a 27-inch iMac and using GarageBand. So you can't get more Apple than that at this point. I'm also a Windows user at work, and so I use both platforms. And I'm an iPhone iPad user. That's my main mobile devices are iPhones and iPads. So, you know, take what I say with a grain of salt. Now, this show would have been a lot easier to do maybe 2 years ago, because I could definitely say back then, don't get Android. It's buggy. It doesn't work right. It's not good. Can't say that anymore. Android really has raised the bar. And I think in some ways, the bar has surpassed Apple. Now, Apple's going to be coming out with their iOS 7 in the fall. And they've actually, some would say stolen, I would say creatively borrowed some of the better features from Android and have moved them into the iOS world, including some of the looks of the icons and things. So it's interesting to see these two kind of battle it out. Now, there are other phones out there. BlackBerry's new system is really neat to use, and you can use that along with the 10 other people who are still using it. It's not quite that bad, but there's BlackBerry. There's Windows Phone, and Windows Phone using the Tile system. If you're a Windows 8 user and you really, really like Windows 8 and you're going to use a Windows 8 tablet, you might want to seriously consider a Windows 8 phone. But to tell you at this point, they're not; those two are not in the running. I mean, Windows Phone, although it has an increasingly larger market share, it just doesn't have the infrastructure behind it yet. Although with the power of Microsoft behind it, it may someday. So today we're really going to focus on Android and iOS. And we're not going to talk about specific models necessarily, but about ecosystems. When you purchase a smartphone these days, you're buying into an ecosystem of apps and service. You're using a specific operating system, much like when you're buying Mac or Windows. If I buy a Mac, now I'm going to buy Macintosh software, and the Macintosh software that I buy will not run on a Windows system. It's the same way with a phone. The nice thing about phone and phone apps is phone apps are a lot cheaper than computer desktop apps. So if I decide in the future to change systems, I can do that for a more moderate cost than changing my whole computer operating system. What do I mean by ecosystem? Well, you're buying into that system. You really want to consider cost. A lot of people put that as number one, and it might be for you depending on how much money you have to spend on a phone and what you use it for. You want to look at upgrade path. Is the phone that I'm buying upgradable? Now, most people, you know, tend to replace their phone every 2 years because that's how long their contract is. And they get a free phone or they get a phone discount, subsidized phone. And by the way, if you want the shock of your life, do the math of a free phone. See how much it is to buy a free phone as opposed to buying a phone and a service separately. You'll find out it's a lot cheaper to buy them separately. The problem is you end up with these kind of podunk phone services that don't really work in a lot of places. So if you're a traveler, anywhere outside your city, you probably need one of the big ones, you know, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. You need one of those kind of services, Sprint, to be able to have your phone work in multiple areas well. But that's a whole other podcast also. We're really looking at the ecosystem, and we're also looking at new products. How often do they refresh these products? And is my phone, when I talked about upgrade path, is it going to work with the new products that come out? And then you also need to look at the quality of apps. If you're an app user, and let me tell you, if you start using a phone, when you first start using a cell phone, you go, I'm not going to really use that many apps. I don't really care about apps. And then once you start using them and you find out that there's an app that'll do pretty much everything. I have an app that controls the thermostat in my house. When you find out that you have this capability and it really doesn't cost you very much, if anything, to add that capability, once you made the investment in the phone, you tend to start buying apps or at least downloading apps. There's lots of good free apps. So who has the best ones out there? So let's first talk about Android. Android is made by Google. It's provided free to phone companies, and they've done that on purpose so that phone companies would adopt them. It was a brilliant idea, and it worked for them. Android now has the biggest market share of the smartphone world. Apple did for a long time. It led in smartphone sales and percentage of the market, but now Android has taken over the market share, and that's mostly because of cost, I think. There's more choices out there in an Android phone. If you have specifics that you want in a phone, like a larger screen size than Apple provides, then you need to go with Android. Android is made by more manufacturers, and there's more choices, and there's, you know, there's physical keyboards, there's not physical keyboards. There's all kinds of different levels of phone cameras and bells and whistles that you can get on different phones. There are cheap phones, there are expensive phones. If you want the most choice, you go with Android. There is a great integration of Google Apps, including Gmail and Google Maps, with the Android phone. It's part of the OS. So if you get an Android phone, you know, your go-to map program is Google Maps. Your go-to mail program is Gmail through Google. And so if you're really part of the Google ecosystem, and that is where your digital life resides within Google, then Android might be a good choice for you, because the integration is really, really nice. Android is much easier. Not easier. But Android has much more possibilities for configuration. You can modify the way things look. You can configure the way things look the way you want them to be with Android. Apple is a little more set in their experience. Android is not. So it's nice if you're a person who really likes to tinker with the look and feel of your device. Android is probably the way to go. It's easier to root the phone, and to rooting it means to get it down to the bare essentials of the phone to be able to kind of program it yourself. You can do that with Android easier than you can do it with iOS, although you can also do it with iOS, but it's easier with Android. It runs Flash. You know, there was a big controversy on whether Apple iPhones would ever run Flash. Steve Jobs said one of his last breaths before he passed away was no Flash on the iPhone. And there were lots of reasons for that he gave. Mostly, I think that he was not happy with Adobe, who owns Flash. But nonetheless, there's no Flash. There is Flash support on Android, but who really cares? Adobe has pretty much stopped creating support for Flash on mobile devices. And there are other ways, including HTML5, to do some of the same things that Flash does. And since app developers tend to develop on Android and on iOS, they tend not to use Flash. So Adobe has abandoned Flash. And so nobody really cares about it, but you can still use it on Android if you want to. Replaceable batteries. I have to say, one of the nice things about many Android phones is that you can pop the back off and pop a new battery in. So if that's something you need to be able to do, you might want to look at that. Although my iPhone, I have a battery case, so I can plug it into an external case and it extends the battery life. But it looks a lot nicer, a lot more clean on an Android phone where you can replace that. Some negatives to the Android phones. They're difficult to upgrade. What happens with Android is, let's say that Samsung is making the Galaxy, one of the Galaxy phones, which is an Android phone. Android sends, or Google sends Android to Samsung. Samsung modifies the OS and they put on their own little splash screens, programs, whatever. They modify it, they customize it to a Samsung phone. The problem is that when a new version of Android comes out, you can't just, on most phones, just upgrade it onto your new phone. Oh, look at the new one does all these neat things. I want to upgrade it. No, you have to wait until Samsung gets the new OS and then modifies it to work on your phone. And the problem in the past has been companies are working on new phones. So they're not really interested in rewriting the opening screens, those splash screens, the extra little bloat, I call them bloatware, but whatever. They're not interested in upgrading that for their older phones. They're not making any money on that. So there's lots of times where you'll get an Android phone and you better, well, if you get an Android phone, you better either go with a company that has a reputation for upgrading those phones. Samsung does okay with that sometimes. And you also want to make sure that it is the version of the OS that you like, because there's a good chance that you're never getting anything more sophisticated for your phone. Not because it can't be done, but just because it isn't done. And it's not Android, Google's fault. It is the manufacturer of the phone. So you've kind of got a middleman there between your OS and your phone. For example, according to Ask.com, and I'll put the link to this in the show notes, but Android 4.0, when it came out, 6 months after it was released, Ice Cream Sandwich, their newest, that particular version, only 2.9% of Android devices in the whole world, 2.9% were running Ice Cream Sandwich Android 4.0. All the other phones, that would be, let's see, 99, 98, 97, 97.1, 97.1% of, always try to do math in my head, 97.1% of all the phones that were running Android were not running the newest OS. And so, on the other hand, on Apple's side, it was their release around the same time of iOS 6 was the fastest adoption of an OS for any device ever released. So Apple devices tend to be backward compatible much more easily than Android devices. Android devices are going to kind of stay where they are. You're not going to upgrade them easily. That's what I'll say about it. Android is more prone to viruses because there's more ways to download software and to root the phone and do other things. It's much more prone to viruses than the Apple device. The apps are not vetted, meaning lots of times you'll go on a marketplace, Android marketplace, or any of the other places that you can download Android apps. And those apps, you have to kind of go by the ratings because they're not tested by anybody and you don't know whether they've got a virus. And, you know, so there are different places you can buy Android apps that say they vet the programs, but it's easier to get a bummer program in Android, although there's more variety of programs because more people can write for that if they want to. App fragmentation is a huge problem. App developers, if you ask an app developer, would you rather write programs for Apple or Android? Almost all of them, with few exception, will pick Apple. Almost 100%. There's things about Apple that drive them crazy. Like you have to vet your program. You have to give your program to Apple. Apple checks it out and then decides if it's going to accept it into the App Store or not. And there are people who work very hard on a program and then Apple goes, nah, no, we're not going to have that. Or they have it there for a while and then they go, you know, this isn't working out for us, and they remove it from the App Store. So that's a problem for developers, but developers much prefer, the ones I've talked to anyway, much prefer iOS because Apple users update their OS. So if I, OS 7's coming out, new programs will work with OS 7, and they will just say, after a while, there will be programs that say only work with 7 and above. Right now, we have programs that only work with 6 and above, because 6 is the version that is out for the iPhone. So on Android, because only 2.9% have upgraded to 4.0 6 months after its release, an app developer has to support Android 4, 3, 2, has to support pretty much any level of Android. And the biggest complaints to software companies are, hey, I downloaded this to my phone and it's not working because they have an older version of Android and it's not particularly working with the newer versions of the software they're trying to write. So there's a lot more work that has to be done to keep these running on all the different types of devices, and they have to specialize them not only for the version of Android, but sometimes for the phone itself, for the different screen sizes. It's difficult to do, and there's some software authors who just write for iOS because iOS is a lot easier to write for and to keep the software updated. And the one thing that really drives me nuts about Android phones is the bloatware. Each manufacturer installs their own little kit with their own little programs. And there are some of these phones, you cannot remove this stuff. Even if you root the phone, it's embedded into the Android operating system. So you can't remove them. So, you have to, and one man's bloatware is another man's, treasure. You may look at those programs and you may decide, hey, but I really like these. Well, that's great. Go into the store, make sure you look through the phone, look at all of the different pieces of software that are included with the phone, and decide if you want all of those. Because they, even though they're neat, they take up space on the phone. Phones have a limited amount of memory. And so you don't want a bunch of things on your phone that you're not going to use. It's just going to take up space, and it's going to prevent you from installing things that you really want to install. But the biggest thing for Android, the biggest plus, going back to plus and minus, is the biggest plus is cost. It is cheaper generally to buy an Android plan and an Android phone, and its overall cost of ownership is lower. So looking at Apple, Apple typically has great hardware. Their hardware is reliable. There's been little things on the news about, antenna gate and this not working and that not working, but really, the phones are great. It probably has one of the best cameras of any phone on the market. The software is very good on it. iOS is more mature. It's less apt to have viruses because you install everything through the Apple Store, and Apple checks everything for viruses and vets the programs. They have great support on their hardware. You can go into an Apple Store and get help all the time. I don't know how to use this. I don't know how to set this up. They'll help you do that. They're really good, have a liberal policy of replacing phones if something goes wrong with the phone. And I really suggest, or one of the few times I suggest, buying an extended warranty for technology is in the Apple Store, because you really get your money's worth out of that 3-year extended warranty. They support their older models. I mean, Apple will come out with iOS 7, and iOS 7 is going to support, 4 previous models of iPhone. And that is just unheard of in the Android world. And so if you have an older phone and it's continuing to work for you, like an iPhone 4, the original iPhone 4, 4S, 5, the newest one that'll probably come out when iOS 7 comes out. If any of those are working for you, then there's really no need to upgrade your phone. And the cost of ownership now comes down. If you're going to keep your phone longer than 2 years, then Apple suddenly becomes the cheaper option. Because if you keep it 3 years, you have now made that the cost of ownership of that phone about a third lower, at least for the hardware. And so Apple phones tend to last longer. And if you can stand not having the newest and greatest phone, then after 2 years, cost of ownership is not such a big deal. If you're going to keep it 2 years or less, cost of ownership, a big deal. And so you, if you time your phone purchases correctly, if you time, okay, I'm ready to upgrade and the new phone has come out, and then you keep that for 3 years or 4 years, and an Apple phone can last 4 years, then you buy the extended warranty and you can really milk the phone and to have it, you know, last the amount of time to make it pay for itself. And you don't lose out on too much because the new phones for at least, you know, like 3 years are supported by the new iOSs. I mean, I have the original iPad, and the original iPad will not run the newest iOS now, finally. But it has been supported for the last couple of years, and the phones are going to be supported even longer. So that's a good thing with Apple hardware. It has compatibility with iPads. I mean, iPads are the top-selling mobile tablet device in the world. They way outsell everything else, including Android, and they're very good pieces of hardware. And the nice thing is, any software that I buy for my phone works on my iPad if I want it to. And many of the softwares are written to work on both, so it takes advantage of the screen real estate. If it doesn't, you just hit the 2X button and it doubles the size of the screen. It becomes basically a big iPhone. But if you, but many of the software companies are making versions that adapt to whichever device they're on. And in that case, it's real nice. You also have that with Android, by the way. If you get an Android tablet, you can use many of the phone apps on the Android tablets, but they just don't look or feel quite as good as they do on the iPad. That's just my opinion, but I think it bears out with a lot of people who've used both devices. So they support the older models, they upgrade their OS, and they support the older models for the iOS, for the OS upgrade and some and new features. One interesting thing about Apple is if you look at Apple and Android users, Apple users tend to use more apps, and Apple users tend to use by about 20% their smartphone capabilities more than Android. Android people tend to use their phone more for talking, and iOS people tend to use their phone more for smartphone functions by about 20% over Android, which is really interesting to me. So they're more used, and there might be something non-tangible about the ease of use between one and the other and why that is, or it may just be the type of person who buys an iOS device over an Android device. iOS devices also run Google services, so Google has their apps on the iPhone. They're not quite as fluid as they are on the Android system because they're not part of the OS, but they're still there. So if you're in the a Google ecosystem, you can still use your iPhone with Google apps. There's not a lot of bloatware. It comes with a few programs, but you can pretty much use the phone memory for what you want to put into it. The negatives are screen size. I mean, there are basically two screen sizes, and the difference is one is longer than the other. But if you want a larger screen size, I know a couple people who have, you know, the Android devices that are almost tablet size. They're so big. If you want something that big, you either need to go to an iPad and not have telephone capability, or you need to buy an Android device. So the ecosystem on Apple is locked down. Some people really hate that. You have to go through the App Store. I really like it because I use my phone for business. And so I want my phone to work. I don't want to download something and have it totally crash the whole system because the iOS didn't match and it affected other apps and all that kind of stuff that can happen with Android. So if you use, this might sound a little contradictory, but if you use a lot of apps, if you're a big app user, you like to try things out, I actually recommend the iOS device over the Android device because the iOS device when you load different apps, they tend to work together better. If you use fewer apps and you're not downloading as much, then Android works great. You download it. Hey, that works. I download something else. Hey, that works. And I don't have to worry about downloading things all the time and then possibly getting a conflict. So some people like the lockdown system. Some people don't. It also keeps malware away from the phone much better using a lockdown ecosystem. The iPhone costs more. It's a very, very well-made phone. It's a metal phone. It's tooled and engineered very nicely. And that's going to cost more money. It does have the Retina display, which is a very sharp display. So even though the screen's a little smaller, you might want to look at the phone because you might be able to read it better than some Android phones, even though the screens are bigger on some of the Android phones. It just depends. But there are Android phones that have even better screens than the iPhone does. So go look at them. You have limited hardware choice. I mean, you know, you pretty much look at a phone and an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 4. The form factor is the same. And so you either like it or you don't. And that's what you can say about that. So which device is SmartTech recommending? SmartTech is not recommending any device. SmartTech is saying you should go and try them out for yourself. Go down to your carrier store and hold an Android phone in your hand and try it out and see how easy it is to use and have somebody show you how to use these phones. And then go over to the Apple store and hold an iPhone in your hand and run it. I mean, you really can't tell by listening to pundits talk. Both are good choices. They're both becoming mature ecosystems. And you can't really go too wrong buying either one at this point. They're both good phone systems. Look at your needs. You know, write them down. Get a piece of paper out. Write down, these are the things I need a phone to do. If you want apps, the newest apps as quickly as possible, you want the phone to be consistently running a certain way and not give you a whole lot of problems, you probably want an iPhone. If cost is the most important thing to you, or you need a bigger screen, or you want things to, you want to be able to tweak and kind of play with things better, then you want an Android phone. And there are some great people who own both of them. And so it's interesting to go out on the internet and look and see the different people who use different things. But because you carry the phone with you, because it becomes part of you and part of your business, part of your life, which phone you should buy is a very personal decision, and it needs to be approached that way. So I hope the pluses and minuses that I gave you this week can help you in your decision. And what kind of phone did you buy and why? Well, leave your suggestions, leave your comments in our show notes. I'd love to hear, you know, why am I totally wrong about Android? Why am I totally wrong about iPhone? Give your opinions. That's why we're here. We're here to interact as community. And I'm sure there's many things I left out of both of them that you think are important. Well, let our other listeners know. Go to our website, smarttech.tv, SmartTech.tv, two T's in the middle. And you'll see this show there. This is episode 1316, ST1316. And you can click on the comment section and leave a comment. You can also see links to other articles that I'm going to recommend that you look at and other things that we've talked about in the show. You can also like us on Facebook on our page, and we would really appreciate that. Our fastest growing community right now of subscribers comes through our Facebook page. And so you just go to the Facebook icon at the top of the screen, click on that. Click on like, and you will like us on Facebook, and that would be great. You can also like us on Google Plus. That is starting to grow, and so we would appreciate, if you're a Google Plus user, making us part of your circle of friends. We would feel so honored. You can also subscribe to our newsletter on our website. You can just put your email address in, click it there. It is secure, and no one else will have it but us, and we will send you updates and tech tips and tricks. And finally, supporting us is as easy as buying through some of our affiliate links. If you look on our page and there's anything there that you might find interesting to purchase, we would appreciate you clicking on the link from our page because it gives us a finder's fee. Does not increase the price you pay at all to the vendor, but the vendor recognizes that you came through Smart Tech, and that helps our show. There's also a box there for Amazon, and you can pretty much search for anything on Amazon through our website at smarttech.tv. Search through that web portal on our website, and we get credit at Smart Tech TV for guiding you gently to the Amazon world. So I hope you enjoyed this week. We'd really love to read your comments, questions, and I'd like to know what phone you're using and why. And if we get enough feedback, we'll talk about it on another show. So until next time, this is Chuck Minear, your host at smarttech.tv, hoping that this episode has made you a little smarter about tech.